When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts on the mind of a cartoonist. And yes, another one from the car. Sitting in a parking structure, as a matter of fact, had about 20 minutes before I'm heading off to another conference, another like education and library conference here in Ann Arbor. And rather than wander around and go look at the interesting shops in downtown Ann Arbor, I thought, well, let's get a Thunder Punch Daily mini audio essay recorded, because I got a bee in my bonnet, a burr under my saddle, and I'm otherwise riled up about something. John David Guerra of NightmarePro.com posted on the Twitters today, an at tweet at me, as a matter of fact, a link to a new movie in development, which is the high concept pitch is Zorro meets Mad Max. And now John claimed that this is something that I mused upon in a past art and story as a ridiculous concept and a joke concept. And here's Hollywood making the movie. That doesn't bother me so much. It is a ridiculous concept. I think it's going to probably be a pretty flimsy movie. But what bothered me when I read the description of the film was playing Zorro as a character who is a grim character determined on vengeance. He's a vengeful character. Which, I'm not going to be such a purist about a certain character to say that you can't interpret them. I mean, the great thing about Zorro is he's public domain. You can reinterpret him any way you want. But what it speaks to, what bothered me, is that it's yet another symbol of how, another signal, I should say, of how we've moved so far away as a collective culture, or perhaps Hollywood is interpreting our collective culture in such a way as to suggest that the Justice character, and in particular the smiling Justice character, is just not palatable to an audience anymore. Are we so cynical that we can't believe in a hero who fights for justice? No, they only fight for revenge. Something bad happens to you, you go back and you get them for it. An eye for an eye and all that. Now, some may say that Batman's a vengeance character. Yeah, sort of. But he's much more of a justice character, in my opinion. And I think we talked about this in the Big Good Guy episode a long time ago of Art and Story. Maybe I'm changing my opinion on it. I haven't gone back and listened to it. But my interpretation of Batman is he's trying to prevent what happened to him from happening to anybody else. I don't think there's a delusion in his mind that he's somehow getting revenge on the specific guy who killed his parents. Who knows? You know, I haven't read every Batman comic. There's a zillion of them. So somebody may have actually addressed that topic in a Batman story. But from the Batman stories I've read, it seems to be more of a, this bad thing happened to me, I want to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. That's different from vengeance. That's avenging, perhaps, but it's not getting revenge on somebody specifically. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about this smiling justice hero a little bit. Now, I've talked about this before, but it's worth repeating because I think that there is something really wonderful about the smiling justice hero, and I don't think that this is an out-of-date concept. I think this is something that can still hold true today. I think, played right, an audience will respond to it. I don't think that we are so cynical as a people that we can't believe in these characters. It all depends on the execution. The problem is that a lot of people execute this poorly. So, and let me throw out one more disclaimer before I dive into a few points, is that I know that there is room in this world for every kind of character. When I say that I like the smiling justice character, this is not to say that I don't like vengeance characters and that I don't like, I can't think of any right now, but just as an analogy, you know, I watched Different Strokes when I was growing up. I know the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. I know that there's room enough in this world for every kind of character. And if you don't, if you personally don't like the smiling hero, the justice character, more power to you. You know, I'm not saying that you should subscribe to this. I'm just pointing out, for those who are curious about this concept, I think that it has some legs to this day, and properly executed, it could be a breath of fresh air for audiences. As a matter of fact, I am hungry to do a Secret Identity character story, which I've never done before. I was going through my notes and asking myself, what's the one kind of story I've never done in terms of action-adventure? And I realized, after going through all my books and my notes, that I've never addressed that kind of character. And I asked myself why, and I didn't have an answer. So I've begun to investigate, like, sort of the philosophy and science of the secret identity character, see if I can sort of unbox it a little bit and then rebox it in my own way. But anyway, that's sort of a sideline note, and I'll be sharing some thoughts on that as I get deeper into it. But anyway, a lot of the Smiling Justice characters tend to be secret identity characters. And I think there's a reason for this. But let's go into story mechanics first. Story mechanics, in terms of like what happens in the story, what function in the story does the smiling hero play? Well, for one thing, it's usually secret identity. Peter Parker and Spider-Man, Don Diego and Zorro, Clark Kent and Superman. And to a lesser extent, even Dan Cassidy and Blue Devil, a comic created by my pal Dan Mishkin. When the hero is at ease and joking around and smiling as they fight to the death, it befuddles the villain. Villains are all about striking fear into the enemy's heart, being frightening, being a bully. If a bully comes up to you and starts pushing you around, they want you to be scared. They want you to be shaken up. And if a hero is unflappable in that situation, even when the odds are against them, even when it's looking pretty bad for them, that just drives the villain crazy, and the villain's more apt to make mistakes. So even within story mechanics, like in the context of plot and the events that happen, a smiling hero could be really effective that way to help save the day. There are a number of Zorro episodes from the 1950s with Guy Williams, one of my favorite TV shows of all time. It's kind of hard to track down because Disney's got it behind the Disney vault and all that. But I think you can track some down on YouTube. And if not, you can always go to the torrents. But there's a number of episodes where Capitan Ramon will be losing his mind because he's fighting brilliantly, but he just can't get Zorro to stop smiling at him. And it's not a big goofy smile. It's a smile of confidence. This helps reinforce the secret identity, too, because Don Diego is a sort of sallow, depressed, and disinterested person. He takes great pains to not just be a wimp, but also be utterly cynical and disinterested in his surroundings. So when he's this bombastic and engaged and engaging personality as Zorro, it's that much more less likely that somebody's going to make the connection between the two of them. Same with Superman and Clark Kent, Adam and He-Man, for that matter. What was the other one of the examples? Oh, Spider-Man and Peter Parker. Spider-Man is a great example of a modernization on the Zorro concept, because in the Zorro stories, we rarely, even in the books, I've read the books, even in the books, we rarely get inside Zorro's head. What Stan Lee did with Spider-Man that I think was really clever is that he let us see just how scared Spider-Man was as he was fighting and wisecracking. So we're getting to witness him respond to the situation as Peter Parker in his head, but still doing all the smart mouth and sass back that Spider-Man was giving the villain, which drove the villain crazy. Scorpion's trying to kill Spider-Man. Spider-Man's joking around. It's making Scorpion that much more angry, so he makes a mistake and Spider-Man wins. So had Spider-Man not done that, it's possible that the bad guy could win in that situation. So looking at Spider-Man is a great way to say, okay, 50-plus years after Zorro came out, how did Stan Lee take that concept and run with it and modernize it to an extent? And the key modernization I think he made was getting inside of Spider-Man's head while he's fighting, and then, two, having Peter Parker be the true character. See, with Don Diego and Zorro, Zorro is the true character. Don Diego is an act that he puts on. With Spider-Man, the hero is the act that he puts on to disguise his insecurities as the kid. Just a simple flip-flop like that makes him into a brand new character. Very few people look at Spider-Man and say, oh, that's just Zorro. But let's talk about what this represents as a character, because I think there's some symbology or some kind of representational data in what makes these characters so engaging, especially to young people, but also to big kids like me. So I've said before that the secret identity hero, like He-Man and Prince Adam, the hero represents what you could and should be, the potential of who you are. Adam is you as you are. Adam is the wimp that nobody respects. Dad kind of puts him down all the time. Same with Zorro. People think, he could be so much more, but if only he'd just try a little bit harder. Adam, Don Diego, Clark Kent, and Peter Parker are the us that goes through life and remembers all the terrible things that happen. Whenever somebody throws an offhanded comment about, hey, you putting on a little weight, or, boy, you didn't do that as well as you could have. And you know how those comments stick with you the rest of your life, right? We seldom remember the good things that people say about us, but we always remember the bad things that people say to us. And so those characters are the sort of the bucket to get filled with the negative comments of the world. And so they're us. But the hero, especially the smiling hero, is us as we could be, our full potential. And I've said in the past that we shouldn't be that all the time, reflecting on the Taoist principle of, do the thing that you're supposed to do and then back off and forget about it. Because if you sit around and congratulate yourself on your successes all the time, you become a bit of an overbearing jerk and you're focused on your power, not on what the power is supposed to do, which is to help other people, right? And that's what this transformation kind of sequence of turning into Superman, turning into He-Man, turning into Zorro, only at night, doing his thing and then running away and then turning back into Don Diego. That's kind of what that represents to me at any rate, is that you have to give up that sort of potential to go back to being the guy who gets humiliated. In other words, we have to accept the fact that we got to take the highs of the lows. We can only be at peak efficiency every so often. We can't be at peak efficiency all the time. That's another layer to this that I've never really talked about on the show that I've only recently begun to explore, is that it's not just about not being a jerk. It's also that you can't be He-Man all the time. You can't be Zorro all the time, because eventually you're going to fail. And by reverting to the alter ego, the wimp, the person who gets humiliated, is sort of a story's way of accepting that such is life, that crap happens, you get humiliated, and yes, you have your potential, you have your time. In other words, I think of a line by the comedian Eddie Izzard, where he talks about the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he was kind of throwing it out as a, look, this is really the crux of philosophy and religion, is just be nice to people. And then he says, I screw it up, I get mad sometimes, but for the most part, I try to do it. That's the essence of the smiling hero's conundrum, is that you have your moments where you're acting at peak efficiency and at your full potential, and you're being a really, really good guy or gal, but inevitably you're going to screw up. And then you're Prince Adam, then you're Don Diego, then you're Clark Kent, then you're humiliated. And we as readers love both characters, as we as people should accept both aspects to our personalities, right? So that's one of the reasons that I love this concept of the pure potential positive persona, the smiling justice hero who... Injustice is different from vengeance. Justice is trying to make sure that there's equality for all and that everybody gets their just desserts. Vengeance is about punishing somebody for having done something specifically wrong in the past. Justice seems a little bit more positive to me than vengeance. Me personally, at any rate. But, you know, somebody could make the argument that, well, the new Batman movies where he's a little bit more dark and grittier, that's operating at full potential. That Liam Neeson movie, Taken, where he goes, his daughter gets kidnapped, and he beats the living hell out of everybody in sight to get his daughter back, that's operating at full potential, sure. And Taken was a very exciting movie. It was very entertaining to watch Liam Neeson brutalize a bunch of people for being bastards, right? But at the same time, I think there's room in this world for the more symbolic narrative of the smiling hero. I don't think it's corny. I just think that it needs to be handled in the proper way, and it needs to be aimed at the proper audience. And so when I see a Zorro remake in the works where they're going to completely reimagine his character as a vengeance character, I just want to say, just make it a different character. Because Zorro was never vengeance, he was always justice, and that's what made his symbol work so well. He worked in darkness, he scared his opponents, but he always did it with a flamboyance. Even in the books, in the original books, he was a sort of wisecracking, flamboyant, Errol Flynn kind of character. And so it bums me out when somebody tries to say, well, all heroes, after all, should be after vengeance, because that's what heroes do. I disagree. So who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, jdrozd.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do it without you. I don't think there's any other news. Oh, there is news this week. I just want to send out a quick reminder to everybody that Mark and I are going to be at Green Brain Comics in Dearborn, Michigan on May 7th for Free Comic Book Day. So I hope you guys can make it out for that if you're in the Southeast Michigan area. Come buy a book from Mark. Get a free sketch from me. I'm not going to have any books to sell. I'm just going to be giving away stuff all day. I've got a whole bunch of free comic books of my Origin of Jared book that we're giving away to support Kids Read Comics. And I'm going to be giving away free sketches for kids. So if you got a young one in your life, bring them out. Get a sketch. And get your picture taken with Mark. So I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember everybody.
There was a really wonderful moment in today's adventure story.
Bet I can guess what it was. It was when He-Man brought the water out of the lake.
No, that wasn't it.
Well then, it must have been when He-Man lifted the whole top of the mountain.
That was incredible, but that wasn't it either.
Well, I give up.
The most wonderful moment was when Thad realized he must face his own responsibilities. In that one tiny second, I saw a boy grow into a man.